What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Wizards of Gallery Place podcast. Brendan and Damo back on the show, and today we have a very special guest with us, Craig Hoffman. From the radio, we all know that Craig Hoffman is a media personality for Team Night in DC Sports. So, Craig, thanks for coming on the program and taking the time to chat with us today.
Absolutely. Happy to chat with you guys in this forum as opposed to a million tweets going back and forth about the stuff we're going to talk about.
Yeah, and so today we won't waste any time. Today's going to be more of a Bradley Beal-related episode, and we know that it's been a hot topic on Wiz Twitter and amongst DC sports fans, and really, I feel like national basketball media now for a long time, so being able to kind of open up and have this dialogue. But Craig, first and foremost, and I'll let you start with this, what I guess has been your opinion about the whole thing with Bradley Beal over the past few years, giving him the contract, and then more so what you think of a player of his caliber now and what you think the Wizards should do moving forward?
So I think these topics get conflated, which makes this a really difficult discussion, which is like part of the problem, right? Is we're talking about who is Bradley Beal as a basketball player? Who is he on the Washington Wizards? And we're also talking about markets. And I think that's the one that makes this a very difficult, convoluted, and on some level unprecedented discussion, because there just hasn't been a lot of no trade clauses in NBA history. I think Brad's a really good basketball player. I don't think he's anywhere close to being the best player on a championship team. I think where he is on the Wizards is he needs to be that, and they don't really have a good path to get someone who is better than him, given their contract situation. Because of that, and by the way, they should have traded him 2 years ago, which I think is kind of universally accepted at this point, that he would have had a ton of value coming off the All-NBA. You know, there was a lot of trades available. His contract was like primed to be traded. Now it's gonna be a lot harder. So with all of that, and obviously the no trade clause going into it, like, I think you have to ask yourself, if you're the Wizards, like, who do we want to be as a basketball team? What's important to us? And I would hope that answer is, we would like to build a championship contender. In order to do that, we're going to have to start over, because we can't do it with this current collection of players. And that means we have to trade Brad. And that gets into like what his value is, which I think is kind of where Damo and I disagree. And where I was like, let's take this to a podcast and hash this out versus just everyone kind of tweeting parallel stuff. And that's a really complicated question. So that's, I guess, the kind of the general setup and where I sit on all of it.
Yeah, definitely. Dama, let's switch over to you now in store, because I know that, like Craig just said, you guys maybe disagree on value. And I think that you know where I kind of stand on this as well. But and David Aldridge did say himself, listening, I think it was actually with you, Craig, that, you know, how we view Bradley Beal here locally isn't necessarily how teams around the league view him. You know, they still view him as a valuable player. Now, again, that contract is a big deal, but Damo, I do want to get your thoughts on sort of where Bradley Beal's value is at the moment. And I mean, we all know that all of us, I think, would probably like to rebuild, but if there is a path to him winning on this team, what maybe that looks like?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's one of those things where, like Craig kind of mentioned it, it's kind of complicated, because you look at Beal here, and he's kind of miscasted as having to be this kind of LeBron James level player that carries guys. And he's not that. He's never been that. Even in his 30 point per game, you know, seasons, he wasn't that type of player. And I don't think he's ever going to be that player. So, you know, I think when you're talking value, though, I think you kind of have to look across the league, look at what, you know, look at these playoffs. You're seeing the value of a shot maker, guys who can put it on the floor, get a basket. You can just give it to them top of the key, and they can get you a quality look. Like, you're watching Jamal Murray, how he's able to play as a number two off of Jokic. That, to me, is the ideal role for Bradley Beal. And I think GMs would probably agree with that. So, you know, they're not looking at, you know, top 100 lists and you know, kind of judging guys in that manner. They're looking at, how many games have you played? What is your production? Where do you fit in our role on our team? What we're doing schematically? And I just think Brad Beal, to me, I still think he could be productive as that second scoring or second option to a team like the Heat or the Nuggets or even the Celtics if they try to pivot off of Jaylen Brown's $300 million. I think he still has that type of value, and it's just a matter of what this front office is willing to take back. What's the best deal they can get? And I still think they can get a good one. Definitely not the one they could have got 2-3 years ago, like Craig mentioned. That would have been like a Paul George type of haul or Rudy Gobert type haul. They're not getting that because teams have seen those deals and they're having buyer remorse on those. The same way they had buyer remorse on all of those crazy contracts they gave out in the summer of 2016. So you won't get that type of haul. But I don't think this is a situation where you're going to have to surrender a pick to get off Beal's money, or you're going to have to salary dump him like we had to do Otto Porter. I just don't view him that way.
So that's where I think we disagree, because I do think it winds up being a salary dump situation. And it's in part because the market is going to be incredibly suppressed by the no trade clause. They can't trade him to Utah or Minnesota, or, and obviously, like, I pick Minnesota for what they did last year with Gobert. They're not going to be available this year because they traded for Rudy Gobert. But you can't just trade him to any market. He's got to approve the deal. And so if I'm a team trying to acquire him, why am I going to give up an asset when I know Brad can just be like, that's the only place I want to go? And I think that's the factor that a lot of Wizards fans are not like factoring in enough, is that when you don't have multiple bidders bidding in the same way that you would have for a Paul George or Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell, that the value coming back in return isn't going to match what the teams that traded those players, even of similar caliber. I think like Mitchell is much better, but like a Gobert, very different player, but similar caliber. I think that is a huge, enormous factor. And Damo, I think you also make a great point. Like, the buyer's remorse on a Rudy Gobert trade is also going to suppress this market in a major way.
Yeah, I would say there might be kind of a meeting in the middle. Like, I think the teams that would want Bradley Beal that are ready to compete now, and then the teams that he would actually want to go to, I think there's an overlap there. Like, I don't think the Utah Jazz are ready to trade for Bradley Beal. Like, that would, sure, it just wouldn't make sense for them to do that. Like, now the Knicks, would they want Bradley Beal? Would he want to go there? I could see a scenario where he would want to go there. Like, I think there's a team that would want him, that's ready to try to compete now. And then there's, you know, where he would want to go. I think there's a meeting of the minds there. So the Nets, they have a lot of draft picks. They have a lot of wing players and young guys that have talent, and they need a star. They need a guy to pair with a Mikal Bridges. Could they take a Bradley Beal? Obviously Philly, we're waiting to see what happens with James Harden, but that's another team where I could see, do they buy Tyrese Maxey as a number two option? Is he ready for that role coming behind James Harden if he leaves for Houston? I could see them wanting Bradley Beal. Like, and that was a scenario that I thought, that I believe was on the table when Russell Westbrook was trying to get up out of here. So, you know, I just think there'll be options. I don't think it's just, you know, black or white as far as, oh, he has a no trade clause. Because for me, most of these star guys, they end up going where they want to go anyway. Like Kevin Durant specifically said, I want the Suns. And that, you know, it maybe limited his market, but ultimately he got to go where he wanted to go. James Harden pinpointed out, I want to go to, the Nets. He got there, and then he pinpointed out going to Philly. Like, these guys get where they want to go, no trade costs or not. I just think you got to have a front office with some stones that can make these deals happen.
For sure. So the Durant deal is an interesting one to compare, because Durant, like, Phoenix did not want to make the move that they did for Durant. Like, that hurt for them to give up that much specifically for Bridges. And there's a great ESPN.com TikTok of how that deal went down. And eventually Matt Ishbia, the new owner, who had literally taken over the team that morning, was like, yeah, this hurts, but do it. It's Kevin Durant. And had there been, and it was for the Nets, it was, you know, Phoenix or nothing, or they were going to keep him. And because Phoenix didn't really have another team to leverage on or whatever, like, they had to give up everything. It was like all or nothing. And so, you know, if Philly is not willing to give up Maxey, for instance, and Miami's like, well, we'll give you Tyler Hero, or, you know, we'll Hero and a pick, or whatever is appealing, right? Like, Philly might have that, you know, have to give up Maxey, let's say. I do think the Maxey Philly thing is interesting to talk about specifically. And by the way, just to kind of clarify something from our Twitter back and forth earlier, like, and kind of the general Twitter back and forth of the day, like, those two deals that I mentioned on Twitter, which were Miami sending Lowry and Hero here for Beal, or Philly sending Harris and let's say Korkmaz or whoever you want to make the salary work, but not Maxey here. Those aren't deals I came up with. Like, those are deals that someone in the Wizards front office was like, these are, you know, just math wise, this is how it would work. And like, these are the kinds of things we would consider. Now, obviously you can add picks on either end of it. But that's kind of the basic structures of the deal. But if I'm Philadelphia, I'm not giving you Tyrese Maxey for Bradley Beal. If I'm Daryl Morey and Michael Winger or Dawkins calls me and is like, you want to do Beal for Maxey straight up, and, you know, forget the salaries for a second, I'm not doing that deal. Maxey's 22 years old and produced almost the same exact statistical line as Beal last year as a third option, and Beal did it as a primary, and Maxey played 10 more games. I'm not interested in that. So I do think Wizards fans, you know, is there a little bit of suppression on what people think of Beal here? Yes, because people are frustrated, sure. But like, there's no way you're getting Tyrese Maxey back from Philly, because I wouldn't do that deal straight up. Nevertheless, like, Maxey plus Harris plus a pick and all this kind of stuff, that's much more similar to, you know, a Paul George type of haul.
I would say that I think what can help his value is it's been rumored that this offseason could be crazy with a lot of trades and a lot of player movement. James Harden moving around. It seems like Portland is a little bit unwilling to trade Dame. So like the next tier of guard that teams would want would be Bradley Beal if they want to make an aggressive move to get better. So that's maybe a scenario where you can attract a couple more suitors, and maybe that's a market that Beal would want to play for. But again, because of the no trade clause, it's just going to kind of come back to, where does Beal actually want to play? And that may not be one or two places. You know, he may say, I may be comfortable playing for four or five teams. And that gives Winger and Will Dawkins a little more leverage in trying to find a deal. Damo, you got anything?
Yeah, I was going to say, as far as the Philly deal, I'm a believer in Maxey. But I would just ask, is Embiid a believer in Maxey? Because Tyrese Maxey was there last year. And, you know, there was communication between Embiid and Beal as far as him coming there before the Harden deal was made. So if you got an MVP saying, hey, I want Bradley Beal, well, what is Daryl Morey going to do? That would be my question.
Question back, though, is like, if you trade Maxey and you're just Embiid and Beal, I guess we just came up with their best friend's nicknames. It's Embiid. But if you're Embiid and Beal, are you good enough? Or is like the whole point of adding Beal is to add and keep Maxey as that third, or even maybe make Beal the third if Maxey takes another leap, and now you're a legitimate championship contender? Because that's the other thing is, you know, you don't want to make the mistake the Knicks made with the Carmelo deal, where you trade everything for the star, and then the star gets there and looks around and is like, well, what do we do now? And that's I think the other struggle with this is where a team like Miami becomes interesting, considering they've made this entire run without Tyler Hero. They look and say, if we can re-sign Vincent, if we can re-sign Martin, and, you know, I can't remember I know Vincent's a free agent. I can't remember who of the other guys is and isn't, but if we can, you know, say, all right, Kyle Lowry will sacrifice, and Hero, we've done it without him. Is Beal the piece that pushes us over the top with Bam and Jimmy? Like, that's where that becomes an interesting conversation, because just trading for a 30-year-old with a $50 million a year contract, to trade away all the other pieces that would have made that worth it is not a thing that any championship, any serious championship contender should be interested in doing.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. I would just, in my head, just the trade would be just Maxey and Harris. Tobias Harris' contract is expiring. I don't think he's a foundational piece for Philly. So in my head, I'm thinking the Wizards get Maxey, Tobias comes off the books, the Sixers get Beal, and then, you know, with Nick Nurse there, maybe they're chasing after Fred VanVleet as their point guard, and then they're competing for a championship.
But how does that all fit with the cap? Like, that's the other thing too. Adding a $50 million a year contract is, that's a tough one to fit in for teams, and still have the depth you need. And, you know, a guy like VanVleet, you know, what's, you can't really have him and Embiid, and then you're going to have to, I guess you get rid of Maxey in your case. And I think that's interesting, but, you know, if I'm them, Maxey, I'm looking to trade Maxey for something more valuable than that.
They're going to have to pay Maxey $200 million. Like, that's going to be the market for him. So the same 4 years remaining on Beal's deal is what they're going to have to pay to keep Maxey. So it's going to be a numbers game for them. They're going to have to make some tough decisions regardless. And that's why I go back to Embiid. How does Embiid view Maxey? Because, like I said, he was there last year, and he was still trying to get Bradley Beal before the James Harden deal came through. So, I think it's going to depend on what the MVP wants.
No, and I think you're dead on there. If Embiid goes to Daryl Morey and is like, buddy, Maxey's great, but I want Beal, well, then you're between a rock and a hard place. What I would do if I was Daryl Morey is say, they ain't that different as players. I like Maxey's makeup better. And if he's going to cost the same amount, like, let's have the younger guy as opposed to trading for a guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy the last couple of years, has a bit of an injury history, and is now going to be 30 years old.
For sure. For sure.
Is there anything in regards to the Bradley Beal discussion more that we wanted to get into? I know that you had mentioned earlier, Craig, that Maxey and Beal kind of relatively had the same numbers, and Maxey was the number two or number three option, while Beal was the number one. I would add that playing with guys like Porzingis and Kuzma kind of don't help that case a little bit, because when he was playing with nobodies on the team like Jerome Robinson, Isak Bonga, Chandler Hutchison, I mean, that's when he was in his bag getting 30-something a game. So I know that Embiid definitely would take away some of the opportunities there from Maxey and Philly, but I would say that, you know, having two major guys that need the basketball instead of one is quite the big difference in terms of numbers there. Because let's be real, Tobias Harris is not a threat offensively, you know. So Maxey is really the number two option there. Well, yeah, Beal is the number one, but the number two and number three. And I think Porzingis doesn't get enough shine because he's a really talented player. Kuzma's on the come up and is kind of the quarterback that makes that offense run a lot of the time. So to be fair, and we said for a while that if Beal kept having to score 30 a game, then there was a problem. So we wanted to add more talent to where Beal didn't have to do it all by himself. And I think that's kind of the direction that they were trying to go in. But obviously it hurts a little bit when you can't stay on the floor as well.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is, like, their numbers were similar last year, and Beal was the number one option, even if it was kind of in an even triumvirate, or Maxey was the definitive third. Like, Maxey, Harden was the main guy handling the ball. Embiid, obviously, right there with him. I'd have to look at their usage percentages. But, like, obviously, a lot of that was simultaneous where they're running pick and roll together, and they both get some credit there. Sure. Maxey was going off of that and still averaged 20 a game. Like, his three-point shooting was significantly higher. Obviously, he's handling the ball less, so he has fewer turnovers. But the production he had, considering his opportunities, I think is pretty remarkable efficiency. Now, I think you can counter argue that to a bit to your point that, like, he didn't have to. And the pressure of being a number one guy is very, very different versus, hey, yeah, he scored 20 a game being the number three. And, like, cause he got a bunch of easier stuff. You know, he's getting kind of one-on-one matchups on the weak side of the floor after Harden whips the ball over and the entire defense is loaded up for a Harden and B pick and roll. Like, all that stuff is totally valid. I would just say, like, you watch that kid play in the playoffs, the toughness that he showed, the mental makeup that he has, the obvious skill, the speed, everything, his shooting ability. I wouldn't trade that for Bradley Beal at 22 years old, considering Brad is going to be 30. I wouldn't do it if I was Philly.
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, it's going to depend on what Morey wants, on what Embiid wants this scenario. And again, we're using Philly as an example, but this could be for multiple teams. It's going to depend on what they feel like would be best for their team. But strictly on value as talent related to contract, I would agree that Maxey has more value than Beal overall, right? Like, and I don't think that a lot of people would dispute that. I guess the question becomes, once you have to pay Maxey, what exactly is the difference? And if Maxey has to be the number one option on a team or a number two, because I totally didn't even bring up James Harden and my spiel there a couple seconds ago. So, and obviously that does matter when Harden is essentially your point guard. So, but how does that change? Like, if you're paying Beal that contract or Maxey that contract, who would you rather have? Well, now I think that becomes a little bit more interesting of a conversation. Now, you can look at Maxey's contract right now and age and say, yep, he's only going to get better, has a lot of potential. That may be true, but you know, Beal is also a however time all-star and has been on several competitive playoff teams. And let's not forget, when Beal was this age, he was that type of player too. So you know, that a lot of people looked at and said he's going to be really good one day. And I think younger players' numbers can get inflated a little bit because the rules and the pace of the game and the overall personnel has changed so much. But I mean, I definitely agree that overall, like in a vacuum, right, that Maxey does have more value than Beal. So if you're Philadelphia, why would you give that up? So,
well, that's kind of what I'm saying, though, is that like if you tell me Bradley Beal and Tyrese Maxey have the same contract, but they are at their current ages and I'm looking ahead for the next 5 years and I can have 4 more years of Beal and 4 more years of Maxey, I would take Maxey. Maybe we disagree on that. I think it's close, but I would take Maxey's upward trajectory even at the contract versus Beal over the next 4 years at even money.
Yeah, it's really the known versus the unknown. I mean, because I love Maxey, but I feel like this is the same conversation we were having about Jordan Poole last year. Like, great playoff run, young talent. You can get him on a deal, and then now fast forward a year later, a poor playoff performance or season rather, and now that the whole narrative on Jordan Poole is totally different. I would just say, again, what does Embiid believe? Because I don't think Embiid is looking for the next 4 or 5 years. I think he's looking this year. Because I mean, he's what, I don't know how old Embiid is, but I know his knees got a lot of miles on him. And is he willing to bank on Tyrese Maxey growing into a star player, a guy that can legitimately be a number two, or in some cases a number one when he's not available, and take on those double teams and the best defender as a lead guard? Is he ready for that? Or does he bank on what he's seen the last 4 years with Bradley Beal, whom we know can do that in some capacity? So, like I said, I think it's going to fall more on what Embiid wants, because if that's what he's pushing for, I think that's likely what would happen.
Yeah, no, you're dead on with what Embiid wants, and it's a good question. Embiid's 29 years old, but I guess I would also say, like, I would take Maxey next year. That's kind of my point on all of it, is like, I just think Tyrese Maxey at this point is a better player. I think your Jordan Poole point is interesting and certainly worth bringing up. I just trust Maxey's makeup a lot more than Poole, who's always a bit of a wild card. I think Maxey's tough as hell, and that is incredibly relevant here. But I do think kind of surrounding this is another like interesting, worthwhile point, which is trading Beal to a better team is going to hurt because he's going to be good. And that's something that the Wizards front office knows, and they're not psyched about.
Right.
But like, they're aware. In the same way that when Rui got traded to LA, like, they knew he would be better in LA, but there's nothing they could do about that to make him better here. He just got to play with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. It was like, wow, he's better when he plays with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And if Bradley Beal goes into the Heat culture, or Bradley Beal goes and plays with Joel Embiid, like, remember how good JJ Redick was playing the DHO game with Joel? Like, that's going to be Brad, but better, because he's Brad. And he's got the dribble package that JJ, for as great of a shooter as he was, didn't quite have. So like he'll be awesome in Philadelphia. And I think that's where this also gets mixed up is, and this is kind of the hard part about being on the Wizards end of this is I'm not telling you Bradley Beal's not good. I'm not telling you that Bradley Beal won't go to this place and be successful wherever it is. And that's going to make whatever you get back in return feel like it wasn't enough. But the alternative question is, what can they do with him here? And I think, unfortunately, the answer is nothing. And that the most valuable thing you can do with him here is move on and start over. And it's a sad reality that we live in, but I ultimately think it is reality.
I think one team, too, that we haven't even talked about, and you brought up a good point, and it's like, you know, the teams that we'd be sending him to, it's like you're kind of helping the competition a little bit. And these are all teams that we mentioned. One team we didn't even bring up so far, Boston, which I think would probably be the most realistic, especially if they decide to move Jaylen Brown. But all five of these teams that we've talked about, Philadelphia, Miami, New York, Brooklyn, Boston, these are all Eastern Conference teams. So I don't think that there's a scenario where we ship him and go to the West. So if we keep him in conference, that also is – it can play a little bit of politics in deals and trying to get them done. Well, I don't want to give you too much because, you know, I don't want you to be better than me. But I think that if the Wizards are going into more of a rebuild mode, then maybe they don't care as much. But I think that's definitely one team that we haven't even touched on, really. And Bradley Beal said himself on Gilbert Arena's podcast, like, do you and Jason talk about teaming up? And he said, like, all the time. So, and now that they may move on from Jaylen Brown and Sam Cassell has now recently joined the Celtics coaching staff, that reality right now, it's more of a possibility than ever. So I think that's something worth keeping an eye on as well.
Would you guys rather go ahead, Domo.
No, I was going to say, I would say that works to the Wizards' favor. I mean, because if you got four Eastern Conference players trying to bid for Bradley Beal's services, I mean, it's an arms race, especially with this new CBA. Like, you know, you got the Nets bargaining versus the Sixers, the Celtics, the Heat trying to get Bradley Beal. I mean, I would imagine they wouldn't want the other team to get him. So if you got a front office in place that knows what they're doing, I feel like you can drive the price up. And again, like I said, I don't think it's going to be like a Paul George haul, but I think you can get a young foundational player in a pick or two, and then just salary filler on top of that, that you get off. But I would hate for the Wizards to take back long-term money for a guy that's not like a guy you can view as a cornerstone piece. Like, I would hate taking back Duncan Robinson money and Tyler Hero money, because those guys, neither one of them to me would function as number two options, top three options on, or I would say top two options on a contender.
Totally. And that's the thing that I think people underrate about, like, the Philly deal with Tobias Harris. It's not about getting Tobias Harris. It's about getting a contract that expires at the end of the year. Maybe you could even flip Tobias, because he is like a useful fourth, fifth guy. He's a useful starter, not a good, like, top three will help you, you know, be the foundational piece, but like an absolute piece that could be great on a contender. And you could flip him again at the deadline and maybe someone is interested, or you just get the flexibility. You get out of 4 years under of 4 years of Brad's contract. And that's valuable, just because he's not going to help you immediately. The clearing and the runway that they don't have right now is what you would get out of that deal, even if you don't get Maxey. Real quick, this is like the Boston thing. Would you rather have Beal or Brown? Because I think I would. I know this feels bad after the series he just had, but I think I'd rather have Brown, because also Brad defensively is not bringing a lot. That's kind of where I still sit. I know he's more expensive, but between the youth and the two-way player, I think I'd still rather have Jaylen if I'm Boston.
Oh, man, that was tough.
Celtics fans have said that he defensively has not been what he used to be, but the fact that he's still 6'7 and is able to bring that kind of ability to the table, I think it honestly kind of comes – overall, I think I'd rather have Brown too, but I think it just depends on your personnel and what you need. If you're looking for more of a pure score of the basketball and it doesn't matter how you need to get the bucket, you just need someone to get it, then I would go Bradley Beal. But if it's for any other reasons, and maybe like a little bit of playmaking too, because I think Beal is also a better playmaker than Brown. But For any other reason, I would go Brown for sure. But
he's definitively a better playmaker. Jaylen Brown has a negative assist to turnover ratio in his playoff career. That is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just looking at it the other day. I mean, Jaylen Brown has a similar assist to turnover ratio as Kuzma. And I know Wiz fans get on Kuzma a lot about his decision making on the floor. But I would say for Boston, it's tough because I think Jaylen Brown's defense is a little overrated. And his half court game can leave a lot to be desired at times. So it's kind of like, okay, do you trade Brown's size and I guess defensive upside for Bradley Beal's half court shot making and playmaking? The Celtics maybe could afford to do that because they have elite defenders over there, including Tatum, Rob Will, you know, Derek White, Marcus Smart. So maybe they don't miss much of a beat, but in a vacuum, like if I'm if I'm the Nets, I would prefer Jaylen Brown. Because he's younger, he's bigger, he's longer, more athletic. You could probably throw a bigger load on him than you would Bradley Beal. But I think Beal's skill set is more malleable for what the Celtics are trying to do because he can play off the ball, on the ball, he can catch and shoot, he can pass. So, and Jaylen Brown kind of struggles with that. When I watch him and Tatum, they kind of just take turns doing, you know, Drew Hanlon moves. So, shout out to Drew. But yeah, a lot of times Jaylen, I mean, he goes left. I mean, it looks bad. It looks real bad. So I would lean Jaylen, but I think for the Celtics, you know, I could see a scenario where it works out with Beal too.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that.
I think the question, and then we'll cut this because I know Craig has to get out of here, but I think that the question Boston has to ask themselves too is, you know, that there is some risk involved. Like, they may not have won a championship, but to get to the Eastern Conference Finals or to even get to the finals, I mean, that's a big accomplishment. And people that have been there a lot and have a lot of championships will think that it's not. But for teams like us or Sacramento or Oklahoma City, like we each have our own kind of programs going on. But I think we'd all agree on that. We'd at least like to go to the second round of the playoffs. And Boston for a while has been a team that will at least do that. So there is some risk involved. Like, yeah, you could move Jaylen Brown if you feel like you can get to the next level, but there's always that, well, what if you don't? And what if it falls flat on your face? Because then you're talking about you're either stuck forever or you have to make more big organizational changes that, you know, you would probably prefer not to make. So again, for Boston, it really just is going to depend on what they actually want to do with Jaylen Brown and just weighing that risk. But you guys got?
Yeah, I was going to say, in a copycat league too, with Denver sticking it out, I do wonder if teams are a little more patient than they otherwise might be because it might just work out for Denver.
Yeah, I mean, even Golden State too. Now, I know that's a little bit of a different conversation, but they still stuck it together after however many years and they won a championship last year. You know, they didn't go to the Western Conference Finals or anything, or the second round exit, but still, it's like, you know, sometimes you just got to be willing to stick it out a little bit if you believe in the talent that you have. So, and again, the Celtics don't have like bad talent. I think that they need to try and figure out a way to get another third star in there, maybe not necessarily move off of Jaylen Brown, but that may be the direction that they decide to go in. So.
Yeah, I would say Jokic's so damn good, though, man. I think he could take four dudes from the Y to the finals, man. Like, he's just, I mean, that dude is impressive.
I'm available. Nicola, give me a call.
Like, that dude is impressive, man. Like, I like Jamal Murray. I like Michael Porter. But I think Jokic is kind of elevating those guys beyond what they would be if they were, say, with the Wizards.
For sure. I do think Jamal is like on a different, you mentioned him and like Brad a little bit earlier. Like, I think Murray's on a different level. I think he is a tier above whatever Brad is. He's not like the top tier of guys, but that dude's nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. When he gets going, he's hard to stop.
For sure.
Really quick, Craig, who's winning the finals? Who you got? Denver?
I still got Denver. I always thought it was going to be tough. I thought it was going to be five, but like five really hard fought games. I think it's still probably Denver in six.
All right. Well, I think that'll go ahead and do it for us here today. I want to thank Craig Hoffman from Team 980 coming on and talking some Bradley Beal and some Wizards basketball with us today. Make sure you guys like the show, rate us 5 stars, leave us a comment, subscribe if you're not subscribed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.